Today on The Coolest, we are talking about LAFC. Do they have an opportunity to win MLS Cup? Sun is changing everything for the club. The vibes are quite high, and they might be pretty dangerous in the playoffs.
After that, we do a little bit of USMNT watch. What's up with our nines? How are our players doing overseas? We need to find out, so we tell you. And also, in the last segment, we get some really good advice from Victor Vonnyface, and then it switches to maybe not so great advice. That and more today on The Cooligans.
Tylenol. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Tylenol hasn't hurt anybody. Never did anything. I mean, unless they're like allergic to it or something.
It's never hurt anybody. 14 people died taking Tylenol today.
But this is a, it, this is getting to an almost comical place with news and and American politics, where it's a lot of jiggling the keys in front of you, being like, look over here. Don't look at
the Epstein list.
Don't look at the box of files that have blood all over it. But look at these. Look at these. And this is just getting to it. I think, though, my issue mostly with it is, like, they do a whole big press conference, and it's, I understand that, like, there has to be some level of collaboration and meetings and everybody be like, all right, everybody, this is the lie we're gonna go with today. Now everybody work on your presentation. Do a little bit. Give me your best Tylenol causes autism.
Right. Let's workshop some excuses.
Trump is a TV guy. He knows that this is why he's able to convince so many people. It's just because it feels like, you know, why would Al Pacino lie to me? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, if you're watching the act on TV, it just feels, people cannot suspend disbelief. But this is when they do the whole press conference and RFK, and it's like every person in a lab coat is like, no!
Everyone, could someone just listen to us for one second here?
I literally gave up my... I had no friends in high school because I was working with beakers and doing all this science
stuff. We gotta go back to trusting the nerds, bro.
the nerds know a couple things.
They were willing to put aside, you know, getting ass. Exactly. You know what I mean? For so long.
No poom poom.
No, none for you. You don't even know what it looked like, and you studied biology, bro.
You're like, what's poom poom? Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be so wet. why did I wait so long? It's a little frustrating, but I watch it, and I'm like, if they're just going to keep doing this, how do I get involved in the grift?
That's kind of, you know what I mean? I mean, I guess, look, I don't want to necessarily assume that the American public, the majority of American public, is stupid, right? Or dumb. But
now, what has led you to believe that you need to take the stance that you don't want to assume?
I don't know what, like, my heart and soul just doesn't want to assume that about so many people. But I think it's not even about being smart or dumb. It's just a gaslighting. Like, even smart people can be gaslit, right? And it's just when you're constantly told one thing and you're like, you know it's not real, but I'm like, damn, he keeps saying it.
Have you ever been in the back of a comedy club when one of your friends is up, or a comic that you admire is up, and they say a joke that's like real heady? You know what I mean? It is pretty silly for the most part, but they're saying something deeper. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They mean something deeper, and everyone laughs at the wrong part.
Right.
And you're the only one who gets the deeper meaning, and you think to yourself, oh, y'all didn't know that was jokes? No.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You didn't detect the sarcasm?
Am I the only one here? You know? And that's kind of how it feels sometimes, because I'll see that. I saw that. And I quote, I'll say it, folks. It's no good, which is
and I think
genius research.
The one thing, I don't know if anyone cares, or anybody listening to this. I mean, it's a very deliberate decision to say, don't take Tylenol.
Right.
As opposed to acetaminophen, which is the actual drug that you are consuming.
Right. Imagine you found out that the plastics inside of cars is making people sick. And he was like, Hondas are killing you.
Hondas are killing you. You're like, oh, wait. Hondas is like, hold on.
Are we the only ones?
Because we all using the same.
Right. How did we mess this up?
a lot of company, you know, CVS sells a meter.
Right. It is Acura right there in the same factory. They're not hurting people.
So just be on the lookout, because any day now, they're going to be like, Tylenol causes autism. But you know what doesn't cause autism? Yeah. Trumpanol.
Trumpanol
is real good for
100%.
You.
It's 100% gold.
Trumpanol. So the grift is coming. Be on the lookout, because that's the only reason they do it. If there's no money behind this, there's no way to make money.
Do you know what the grift is, though, right?
No, what is it?
You know what cures your system of what acetaminophen inserts in your system? Something called iHerb, which is owned by Dr. Oz.
Oh.
Who is a part of the administration.
Ah.
So, yo.
Bro, we
I just, what I'm saying is, let me know you're going to do this before you do it so I can buy the stock. You feel me?
This has not.
That's all I'm asking for is give me a chance to make some money before you kill us all.
Please welcome my guest, Richie Torres. Yeah.
Yo.
Okay.
Hey. This
has not, the Cooligans pivot has begun.
You know, you think that's funny, but I've got to go. My private jet to Israel's here. So. you thought you had jokes, Christian. Do a little show by yourself. Peace out,
brother.
I'm gonna go get circumcised.
All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Come on.
Okay, I thought Andres Cantor was saying your name for a second.
He'd be crying, dude.
Amazing.
Stiff upper lip, yo.
That's right. We are excited because we're also recovering after watching Lionel Messi humiliate our club.
He was like, last time I was here, they didn't treat me so nice.
Exactly.
So now I got to treat them not so nice.
This time he's like, I'm in Queens this time. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. I'm surrounded by mi gente.
So
I just went to El Gauchito and got some entraña.
There's a lot to go over today, obviously, in MLS, some USMNT. We'll look at.
Wait a minute, Christian, are you not excited for this hot show?
I did. I already said the word excited. You want me to say
it
again?
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Alexa,
I missed
you ain't paying attention, bro. You slipping, dog.
Sorry, bro. My annoying meter didn't go off.
I am thrilled to talk
MLS. My guy got out there, Soares.
USMNT. And we'll do some Rapido reactions as well.
First, let's talk about this, because this is wild. I saw a tweet before. It made me go crazy. Right now, LAFC are going bananas. They are high flying right now. And it seems like they've been really good ever since they got Sun Heung-min, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, that's why it is today's top topic, brought to you and presented by Buchanan's Blended Scotch Whiskey, an official FIFA World Club 26 supporter. Nos vamos al Mundial with a bucanita in hand.
This is the top topic.
All right, Christian, let's pull up the tweet so we can check it out, because Tom Boger put this out and the stats are incredible. We want to know what team right now, right? Which team right now is the hottest in MLS? And you got to get hot before the playoffs. And there is no team hotter right now than LAFC.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like when, especially in MLS, like towards the summer transfer window. And even when you get a player late in the transfer window, like the transfer window is not necessarily split evenly. Like the summer transfer window doesn't happen exactly like in the middle between all of the games.
It happens closer after All-Star usually.
Yeah. So it's but sometimes it feels like it could be an MLS season and there'll be like, I don't know, 10 games left, and it's like, we get Sun. You know what I mean? Like, all right, does it seem fair? I'd be like, he's very good. And so it's very obviously beneficial.
Wait a minute, Christian, are you suggesting that the summer schedule is working against MLS?
Not it working against. I mean, it works in benefit of the certain teams that are willing to take a bigger risk.
So here's the play.
The summer transfer window.
Here's the play. You save a little money doing it this way, right? You go most of the season playing all right.
Yeah.
But then you bring in a superstar that's going to change everything right before the playoffs.
Sure.
Genius.
Yeah, it's not. If the rules allow it, I'm not mad at it at all.
Let's get Will Koontz on the phone. Throw us in the GM group chat, because I think we saw MLS.
It's just interesting because we saw what happened with Olivier Giroud and how poorly that went. But it's when you're bringing in a player in the middle of the season, whether they are superstar or not, it could totally not work. It could just be a bad fit and or just not a great sort of locker room presence or not the right time and all this other stuff. But It's just miraculous. I mean, miraculous is not the word. It's just the last year for Sun where everybody was like, even including me, was like, oh, he's slipping. He's not going to be the same. Maybe
yeah,
he's not
you
gonna,
actually had to apologize for I it apologize. Because people got very
the
upset.
The Korean community yeah. came after me. Yo. Apologies.
Yeah. Normally so, in Korean photos, they do the little heart with their hands. They just middle finger you, bro.
Just a
friend. You're like, why are you putting the two together to make a little heart?
But no, he's been fantastic. Gets a hat trick the other day.
I think he scored 5 goals in 3 games.
Yeah, he gets a hat trick and then a hat trick one game and then the following game against RSL.
Look at this, 5 goals, 1 assist in 251 minutes. That's with an XG of 2.78. If you don't understand, that means the average striker, if they did what he did, or the average person shooting did what he did, they'd get 2.7 goals, right? So just under 3 goals. He got 5, bro. He basically doubled it up.
Yeah, yeah. Few players can go into a new team and just immediately be the best player.
I disagree. And I think this is a conversation we've had about MLS before, and I will say it time and time again. Getting a designated player defender makes no sense to me. Getting a designated player goalkeeper, dumbest decision you can make as a GM.
Yeah.
Again, these players are thrown at you and put on your lap and it's a good deal. It's hard to say no.
Tim Howard, ignore this part of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really dumb, Tim.
Colorado Rapids.
You should have been a striker, buddy. But if you can get a player that plays in the middle of the park, can link everyone else up, can... But be influential.
If you can do that.
That's really the
how
only...
How many of those are there to go around?
There's thousands of teams in Europe that have a higher quality 10 or 9 that can play false 9 that are better than the average player in MLS. Those are the guys you go after.
I disagree.
Maxi Morales. Maxi Morales is a great example. Not a player that was in the highest levels in Europe, but already you put him in, he makes everyone around him better. Him and Son is doing exactly that. If you could get someone around zone 14, the area where we cannot create players consistently that play at a high level,
yes.
You make your team better. That's it. MLS is simple. I solved it.
Well,
yo, shut it down.
There's a lot of fact that I'm arguing there aren't that many players available. And by availability, meaning they also want to play here.
But bro,
and you can afford them.
And here's what you're
and
crazy.
And fit under the salary cap. That's
first
the problem.
Of all, DP, so they automatically will kind of fit under the salary cap unless you've been really dumb about it. And two, do they want to play here? You're right about that. That's a bit of a hurdle.
Right.
But there are thousands of players
literally,
that immediately would come in and would
there's
be better.
Literally thousands. There are not thousands.
There are 100%. You don't think there's at least 1,001 players that are higher quality than the 10s, than the average 10 we have in this league?
No. I mean, maybe if you said like 300-400, maybe.
Between the ages of 31 and 22, you don't think there's at least 1,000 players around the globe.
You went from thousands to now you're saying 1,000?
I'm willing. I'm landing in 1,000.
I mean, fine. I mean, we will never figure this stat out.
I don't think it's that hard to figure out.
But I don't think it's, this is my honest opinion. I do not think there are as many high quality footballers living right now in the world than we think. I think you think that there is. There's an abundance of talent, and they just need to be just sent like an email, and they're no. I honestly think they are not.
You don't think you go to undiscoveredtalent.com and just start swiping?
Why? Every GM is like, why haven't I found this site?
ChatGPT, agent mode has really saved us a lot. I think you're wrong. I think there's an overabundance of talent that, if we're brought in, would be maybe not legendarily different, like a Himming Son or Son Himming, I should say. Not that suddenly shocked the league, but are better than your average player that have a higher quality level of talent.
I think you're insulting the average MLS player.
I'm
and
not.
How good they actually
this is
are.
The thing, because I think a player in the middle of the park makes them all even better. I think it showcases the talent we have. The one place I don't think we're really great at developing is the middle of the park. Is that zone 14? Is that 10?
Well, there's a difference between a player born in America and developing those skills. That could be a national team argument versus just how many 10s, regardless of what country they are born in, are available and are high quality.
What's the average DP make? 5 to 4 to 7 million?
Sure.
You don't think there's a bunch of players playing in the Eredivisie right now? There's
not
at least
thousands.
Not in that league alone. But if you go across, there's players in the second divisions that haven't been able to crack the senior team at the top division that are on loan.
And I don't think they're better than an average MLS player. That's right.
Well,
that's my
thought.
Anyway,
well, let us know what you think.
Anyway, this is where we conversations devolve. We're trying to talk about. We're trying to glaze Sun. That's all we're trying to do.
We should have went with Heming on that one.
Glaze Sun. Anyway.
Release the list.
So four goals scored in each of the last three games since Sun joined LAFC.
Danny Bowanga also looking amazing, because how much easier is it to play when you have Heming Sun?
After the game against RSL, they had that was like Carlos Vela celebration night, celebrating his career. And there was a moment when Son gave a big hug to put his arm over his shoulder of Bowanga, and the smile on his face. He never smiled that way with Giroud there. And they spoke French. They spoke French to each other, bro.
Bro, Giroud was a mistake. I called it from the beginning. I love Giroud, okay? But come on, that's not the type of player that helps. You're just a big guy who's going to head the ball in that you need to send service to. It's not the way LAFC wanted to play.
Okay, I mean, Giroud still has a lot left in the tank.
He's
but just
proving
not,
it.
Just, not,
just
with,
not in that team. He would have been great in MLS in other teams, just not in LAFC.
Right. So, but there's clearly something to, the Sun's ability to just kind of make everybody better. But are LAFC the real super team in MLS? I think when it comes to vibes and at least a level of consistency.
Who are they competing with for that title?
Inter Miami.
Right.
Super team. Anybody else even come close?
No, because super team means you've at least got like a big, big name attached to it. Sure. So right now it's between them and Miami. And I think I have more confidence in LAFC than I do in Miami.
I think so.
Just because of the players on the pitch.
Sure. But even the super team moniker, even there's more than what just happens on the pitch, because I think the excitement around the team and its players, and obviously Sun is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there. But you can't go on any LAFC YouTube video, Instagram, and seeing comments written in Korean, right? So we all knew that there was going to be an incredible amount of support, but I thought like domestically it would definitely be fantastic with the Korean community in the U.S. and in
especially in L.A.
Yeah. And but no, it feels a little bit more globally impactful. I would even start to ask, like, you know, is Sun getting more Apple TV subscriptions for Apple than Lionel Messi?
Lionel Messi's still making money off that. but even if you just go on the pitch, right? They've only lost two games since the end of June, which is an incredible run. And in that time, they're plus 15 in goal differential. So they're absolutely just destroying the teams around them.
Right.
And I look at the rest of their schedule. They go away to St. Louis, right? They're at home against Atlanta and Toronto, and they go away to Austin and Colorado. All of those are very winnable.
Totally.
Especially if you're LAFC. I don't see anyone there that could really cause too much of a headache. So, I mean, they're going to go into the playoffs, top in the West, and you assume they're going to go in there with a certain amount of momentum that we keep talking about is very important to have in MLS. So if you ask me, like, super team, right? The only way, it's really difficult to say super team in MLS because it almost doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. Yes, you'll get the supporter shield, but we all know what matters most. MLS Cup. So you almost have to do it in the playoffs. So it's difficult to say this was a super team until they win MLS Cup. Because you remember Inter Miami won, beat the points record under Tata Martino, and they looked amazing losing the playoffs. So are you a super team? No, you didn't win in the playoffs. Exactly. You couldn't do it when it was important. So for me, LAFC have a better goalkeeper. They have a better back line. Inter Miami may start to make some moves from there. Maybe Inter Miami have a better forward and better midfield. You could argue either side there. But obviously, that's where most of their superstars are at, is stacked up front. Defense wins championships, bro. So for me, LAFC, and right now, to me, are the team to beat.
And they have the pedigree. They've won plenty of trophies. There's already a great culture of winning for LAFC. I wonder, the playoffs are going to be interesting. I based on the matches that are left, it feels like if LAFC don't finish top of the West, that might be like kind of a disappointment for them because they have, I believe, two games in hand.
Yeah.
They have every opportunity to do that. But I honestly think I'm pretty sure LAFC are getting to the semifinal in the West, possibly the final. It's San Diego. I mean, and this is the semifinal I want to see. I either want to see LAFC against San Diego or LAFC maybe. I don't think they could face Minnesota, but like depending on where everybody ends up in the thing. But LAFC San Diego or LAFC Minnesota seem like a good LAFC Vancouver. Is also another one. We've seen it plenty of times the last couple years. So there's a decent rivalry there. But San Diego seemed like the team, that bogey team for LAFC, and could really mess things up when it comes to their like playoff run. But what if it ends up being West LAFC East Inter Miami? Like this is.
Don Garber, cash machine going crazy, bro.
He has the little the guns, the dollar gun. Bills, bro. That'll be exciting.
He shows up in all Supreme. He's not even wearing a suit anymore.
All right, backwards cap, Don Garber.
He's like, yo, well, I don't know about y'all broke boys, but we making money out here.
But no, it is impressive the run that they're going on because they more than anything they seem like they're in a positive space, and you wouldn't necessarily think it with Steve Cherundolo announcing that he's leaving.
Yeah.
So they're in a good spot.
Trying to give him a proper send off.
Okay, 29 other teams do not want that for Steve.
No, not at all.
So we'll see. Since Sun's been there, they only lost to San Diego. San Diego is slightly kind of sputtering. They also had to. Get rid of, forgetting his name. Who's the player that they have to sell to Philadelphia Union? I think he wanted more money. I forgot his name. Carter, if you can find it. But they just don't look like the same San Diego. But also, San Diego is a team that their expansion year, they have a very good opportunity to win the Supporters Shield. Mm-hmm. If they win the Supporters Shield, maybe. MLS Cup is a whole different story. But if they win the Supporters Shield, doesn't it feel a little bit like Leicester City story in 2015? The idea of this is like our version of it. And I don't think people are talking about it enough. The fact that San Diego have been this good. And they also, weirdly, have been fantastic on the road. Terrible at home. Not terrible. But like
not
just
as good.
Not as good. But for an expansion team.
Chicago Fire won MLS Cup in their expansion year. So that would probably be the best one.
Sure.
You know what I mean? This feels like a cool story, but I guess it's really hard for me to think of it as like a scrappy upstart when you pay half a billy for the team. You know what I mean? You came in kind of prepared in a way. I think the biggest surprise is none of us saw Mikey Varis being this good because of how bad his run was before.
Right. But the team had 6 weeks, I think, they met each other 6 weeks before the season started.
You know what this tells me? Like,
kind of crazy.
What does this say about Montreal? How many years have you had? You know what I mean?
I mean, it clearly, I think owners that are not willing to really invest and spend.
Or intent. It's the intent.
Yeah, if you're not.
Owners that want to be a part of MLS to make that money versus owners. Yeah. And I'm allegedly, right? I don't know if that's what Saputo's are about or some of the other owners versus the owners that came in and said, we want to show the world. What we can do. We want to win. We want to win. We want to lift the trophy.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit more, soccer fans in the U.S. I think generally not as aware of like maybe who the owner is or direct their frustration. I think we're seeing this with DC United as well. And we're at the point towards the playoffs where like, all right, now I've already yelled at the players all season. Right. Now...
that's getting me nowhere. I got to go up the org chart.
So most
leagues, it's the haves and the have-nots. In MLS, it's the wants and the want-nots.
As the league continues to grow and evolve, it's just like these owners are looking more and more ridiculous. I mean, there's a difference, I think, between, an NFL owner that doesn't really... I mean, is there an NFL owner that doesn't really want to invest? I mean, there's no reason not to. They make... so much of that money. Yeah. You know, I think it's honestly.
Well, I mean, we go back to the Cincinnati Bengals for like, what is it, 15, 20 years they didn't make the playoffs.
Sure.
And yet they made a profit of $1 billion in that, like in the two or three seasons before they got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the owners ain't mad at that.
No.
That's kind of nice.
Y'all bummed? That's crazy. I'm out here counting money.
Why is everybody?
Why y'all losing though?
Why is everybody mad at you for?
That's crazy. But I can't hear you from my private jet.
So I think LAFC are just like, you know, we talk about this all the time, obviously going into the playoffs, but they look like they're in a strong spot. Another team that also looks
For me, I think they're the team I worry about most. Because they have less questions than like a Miami who could potentially, you know, really make a splash in the playoffs.
Or make, you know, completely just like explode and just like what they did in Atlanta last year. Just like they, you know, they can't defend. I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
way more question marks there.
So the, we went to the NYCFC Inter Miami game at mm-hmm. City Field last night. It was a spectacle. Yeah. All the stars were there. Chad
O'Just. I haven't been to an away match for NYCFC in a while, so that was
yeah. had to take the, you know, long bus ride to Queens.
You know, no, just all the pink shirts.
Yeah, a lot of pink shirts. Yeah, I'm a little different than Yankee Stadium. I think if NYCFC scores first, the vibe's a little bit different, and the NYCFC fans maybe get a little bit louder.
Salute to the supporters. Great tailgate.
The TIFO. TIFO was great. So shout out to Third Rail. That was cool. But yeah, this was our first experience. Lots of other people we know, you know, Rebels fans experienced Messi coming in, mm-hmm. taking over the stadium, also cooking them on the pitch last season at Yankee Stadium. That did not happen. It was a 1-1 draw. James Sams with the late goal. Messi only got an assist in that game last year, but this time around, he's like,
he brought a scoring boots.
He brought his scoring boots. He brought his assist boots.
Yeah. To give you an idea of the crowd, they booed when Luis Suarez came up to take the penalty
that's
instead
right.
of Messi.
So they wanted Messi to get, I believe, his second goal in that moment.
43,000 tickets, I believe.
Something along those lines.
Crazy.
It was a spectacle. It was a good start, good first 30 minutes. I thought NYCFC, even though they, you know, Inter Miami, and they really did look like a Barcelona type team. Like they were controlled, maintaining possession. Even the players I never heard of, I'm like, why? How do you know how to do
why
this?
Why are you having such a good time out there?
You're 14. Yeah. You just got from Argentina.
You just learned, man. You were playing baseball 2 years ago. But what impressed me the most was their ability to transition to devastating attack pretty quickly.
Dude, I mean, it's I think there was a little too much respect given to Messi and Busquets, or at least too much
from
space.
Everyone but Justin Haack. Justin Haack was like, "I'm gonna take all y'all out, bro." Shout to Justin.
I'm gonna say this because this is my second time seeing him play in person because I saw him for the national team. But you know what? I'm not a big fan of Rodrigo De Paul. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he plays.
Pull up your pants, cut your hair, and have some respect, says Grandpa Polanco.
He was working the refs like crazy,
but
bro.
That's literally what he's done his whole career.
Yes. But seeing it in person, I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And if I saw him in person, I'd be like, hello, Rodrigo. How you doing? That would be very nice to
love your hair. Love where your pants
it's
are
just,
right
there's
now.
There's something about your character and your personality that I think is
it
just
draws
it's magnetic.
Hey, you're a flame, I'm a moth. That's just what I'm trying to say here.
So
Jordi Alba like ice grilled the sideline judge, the offside judge.
Yeah.
And the offside judge was like, yo, you see my man? He got in his face too.
Yeah.
And then the ref came over to give Jordi Alba the yellow, and Rodrigo De Paul went to work, bro. What happened from that moment was beautiful to watch from someone who's like, I enjoy what happens on the fringes. You know what I mean? Someone who plays with the rules. This was,
but there was
the highest level.
There was and the ref, I hate that I forgot his name, but he's the ref.
Yeah.
He
has a penchant for the camera.
I thought he did fine, except Rodrigo was, Andres Perea was shielding the ball and he put his hand out and touches Rodrigo De Paul's shoulder, and Rodrigo De Paul's like, nah, my fan, you come on, how dare you hit my. I'm like, bro,
right,
This is, you can't do this. I mean, I understand if it's like a graze or it's like kind of close to the face.
The physio said he died for 4 seconds. It was crazy.
It was a miracle. They resuscitated him on the pitch. It was incredible.
Thank God, bro. We had the paddles.
And NWSL said, the game goes on.
I don't care how hot it is out there.
So, yeah, it was a, that's the one part I didn't like. But, you know, I think if Nico Fernandez, Mercado, I mean, he had the 1v1.
Yeah, man.
If he scores and doesn't hit the post, I think it's a completely different game. But then after, I don't know what Pascal Janssen was thinking, getting rid of Thiago Martins in that game. As soon as they got rid of the captain, got rid of the center back, they give up three goals. And they gave up a goal almost immediately after he left the game. So clearly the wrong decision.
Had to be like maybe an injury or something, or maybe... Something.
I thought it was a tactical decision because they brought in a midfielder.
He wanted to overload the midfield, but you don't give them an open lane in the back line.
And Messi was like, oh, wow, there's a less, there's much smaller men in front of me.
Where's that big dude that was right here, bro? He ain't here no more.
So I'm going to go have a good time over there. But yeah, a great game. It does a lot for the Eastern Conference. I know Inter Miami are now, I believe, in second or third place.
If they win out, they can get the supporter shield.
They can get the supporter shield. And after a season with playing in so many competitions, and to win another supporter shield would be pretty impressive with the collapses that they had in some games where they just forgot to defend.
Anything can happen, though, but they are getting hot at the right time. It seems like they've kind of learned MLS isn't about consistency. It's about momentum at the end.
Worried about Inter Miami in the playoffs.
As you should be.
I don't think across, especially in that first round of potentially three games, I still think they're going to have a difficult time if they come up against an opponent similar to what the Sounders did in the League's Cup, where they just kind of man-marked Messi, where Obed Vargas was like, all right, I'm just going to make your life miserable. They don't seem to... they can get caught out in moments like that. So we'll see how they do in the playoffs. But it was a fun night, even though we have to recover a little bit and our egos are hurt a little bit. Man. All right, let's take a quick break. We got to talk some USMNT because a lot of people are putting in some work overseas. Let's go. There are 259 days left until the World Cup kicks off in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. So we have to really take a deep dive and look at how the USMNT is doing and what the striker situation is, because there's a lot of strikers. Some are doing it well at their clubs. Some can't do it at all for the national team. Yep. So we got to figure out who is going to be, who are we going to entrust with wearing the number 9 shirt or just being up top and banging in some goals for us. So let's start with Ricardo Pepi, who is back from injury, playing for in the Eredivisie for PSV. He has 2 goals in 2 games for PSV. How are we feeling with Ricardo Pepi right now?
Well, it's actually 2 goals in 3 games if you count Champions League. So that's what I was going to bring up.
Got it.
I like where Ricardo Pepi's at. He's clearly come back from injury. He's looking strong. He has the trust of the management. He has the trust of the team. But you got to do it in the big games, right? And look, he scored against Nek Nijmegen, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay.
And he played pretty
Megan
good.
Kelly?
Yeah, y'all know. Y'all know Nek Nijmegen, NEC. Y'all know Nijmegen, right? But here's the thing.
I think that's a slur in some language. I don't know, 100%. Bro.
There's somebody watching like, how does he even know about my people? But he didn't play too well against Union Saint-Gilloise in Champions League, and he looked okay against Ajax. And part of me, though, the thing I worry about is getting that match fitness, right? You were out for so long for injury. I don't think this is a question of his quality. I think it's a question of where he is right now in sort of the speed of the game, right?
Okay.
And when it comes to the World Cup, that's the fastest and the most important.
Sure. So, all right. We have a couple others on screen. For Lauren Barligan, got 1 goal and 1 assist in 3 games, which is good. Now, this is the one that stands out. Josh Sargent, 5 goals in 6 matches.
Look how angry Christian got. Just bringing up the name.
I just want to point out very clearly, I don't care. I don't care. You could put 500 goals in 6 matches. That's it. done.
Yeah.
You've
seen everything you need
I've
to see.
I've seen everything I need to see, yeah. Okay? Call me Justin Bieber, bro. Right. I've seen it all. Done. It looks great, and he's going to keep doing it for Norwich. Hope he gets him back into the Premier League.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Handshake. Thank you for everything you've done for the national team. I don't think this is going to work out. It's not you, it's me. Yeah. One of them. We got to give some.
Actually, you're saying it's you, dog. I'm just saying, it ain't
we
me.
We got to let him down gently, yeah. Okay? We got to lie. We got to ghost. Can we just ghost Josh Archie?
This is the difficult part about a national team, or at least coming up with like a ranking, right? If you're Mauricio Pochettino, it almost doesn't matter what Josh Sargent does. 5 goals in 6 matches. He's done it before. He'll do it again.
Yeah.
He's electric when he wears a Norwich shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. It's can I trust you? Yeah, on the national team, right? I look at someone like Ricardo Pepi, and I talked about, okay, maybe he didn't look great in some of these matches. But for me, like, I know when you put on the U.S. Men's National Team shirt, you are goal dangerous. Something clicks, and you become that guy that we want to see. I know when Folair and Balogun feels like he's getting the service he wants and he's confident. He's the, to me, the perfect guy to have up front when he's at his peak. Josh Sargent. Bro, I don't shave your head. I don't know what it is. Dude, something about you when
dreads,
you put on
bro.
That.
Yo, cornrows.
Go full cornrows, dog. I don't know what
you gotta change. There's something about like to bring some confidence with the national. Do something different.
Yeah, man.
Face that too.
I don't know what happened, but when it comes to my ranking, if it's going purely on club form, Josh Sargent's in there. He's in the ranking. But we've seen it before.
How many chances have we given
him? Yeah, dude, it's a lot, bro.
I mean, and
you know your homeboy who's in a toxic relationship, and you're like, you gonna keep getting back with this guy?
Like, logically, you see everything he does with his club, and you're like, of course, how could we not
bring
call
him in?
He is in form. Mm-hmm. And then he puts on the national team shirt, and it's just 2 months.
And the shirt's on backwards. You're like, how did you forget how to do this part?
Okay, crisscross.
Damn. Whoa, young reference alert, everybody.
Jump.
Generation Alpha. Y'all know what we're talking about.
So, all right, let's take a look at 3 others. Patrick Ajimang, Damian Downs, and Haji Wright. Patrick Ajimang has no goals.
He got 1 goal contribution in 2 matches, which is pretty good.
And 1 assist in 2 matches. And he's coming back from an injury. Damian Downs, no goals and 1 assist in 4 matches for Southampton. Haji Wright, 5 goals in 6 matches for Coventry City. And they're all playing in the championship. Haji Wright is the one. He's already scored at a World Cup. He hasn't really been called, he hasn't really gotten many opportunities again since that World Cup.
But he's so good at Coventry City. The coach absolutely loves him. People talk about him being influential.
Yeah.
The match against Manchester United in the FA Cup quarterfinals, was it? Absolutely electric.
Yeah, there was somebody, we were talking about Haji Wright maybe like a month ago, and there was somebody in the comments basically saying, these guys don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. Haji Wright is great, and he's been doing great at Coventry.
Clearly, at Coventry, yes.
At Coventry.
This show ain't about Coventry, dog.
the Coventry cooligans. Yeah,
we ain't in the United States of Coventry, alright?
So
I was riding my bike. Remember we were talking about riding bikes in Rome, me and the wife, mm-hmm. we're riding around, and a guy is on the phone in a throwback, super retro Coventry shirt. And I ring the bell, bling, bling. He looks over, I go, Coventry shirt. And he's like, yo, mate.
Yeah,
how you know that, mate? He's like, freaking out. He's like, yeah, the match is about to start, man. How do you know that? Wait, you're an American? Why are you in Rome? He was so confused how an American in Rome on a bicycle knew that it was Coventry shirt. But I go, yeah, dude, I'm American, but I know the sport. And I go, Haji Wright. And he goes, we can't win without him.
Look at that.
He yelled, we can't win without him. That's the confidence of a very drunk man in Rome,
bro,
wearing a Coventry shirt who's about to watch on a dodgy stream on his phone.
Drunk words are sober thoughts. When you talk about Haji Wright, drunk, you telling facts.
Christian dropping bars and has gotten in trouble before. To me, this is what Haji Wright has been able to do. Can he duplicate that on the national team? If given the opportunity, I think maybe he finds that form with the national league. But then the question becomes, does he usurp anyone else? If we're talking about where our rankings are for number 9, the real question is, who's number 1 right now? Is it, who's the number 1, number 9? Very confusing. Is it Folair and Balogun or is it Ricardo Pepi? Right now, based on the way he's played on the national team, I think it's Ricardo Pepi if he gets back to form.
So for the next international break coming up, who do you think Who gets called in? Balogun's obviously going to get called in.
This our final break before the World Cup?
No, I don't care.
I don't care if he just calls in MLS players. Test.
I don't understand.
Why do you need to see the comments in the last video, bro?
Everybody was cooking. You'd be like, oh, I hate this attitude that friendlies are not important. This is ridiculous. You can't. What? It's way too close to the world. 259 days.
All right, what parade? Let me ask the fans. What parade have you been to for winning friendlies?
This is unbelievable.
They're just going to turn it on at the World Cup.
We don't need to see anything. No. All right. I don't want to get into this conversation.
It's ridiculous.
We already had it.
Calling all MLS players. I don't care. I don't care what comes in. Honestly, I would love to see Haji Wright. I would love to see Josh Sargent. If he wants to give him another run, I know you're done with him. I don't care. Mm-hmm. If he wants to give him another run, he's the coach. I would love to see some of those players that we know aren't the top three or maybe are vying to be the third name on the list of the top three.
All right. All right. Whatever. Okay.
Let Damian Downs get a start.
Let's move on to what we are focused on in the segment. Let's talk about some other USMNT players.
Bring in Alonso Martinez. I know he's swinging.
gotta fix some paperwork, but we'll get it.
It's just a couple things need to switch up.
So Christian Pulisic, we have to talk about him because he is, I think he's letting his football do the talking. And this is what everybody likes to see. Mm-hmm. I think all the beef this summer of skipping Gold Cup and the beef with Landon Donovan and Tim Howard and Mark Pulisic
and Christian Belongo.
We all had smoke for Christian Pulisic. But he is in fantastic form. He is he is AC Milan's best player.
It is four matches into the season.
But I mean, nobody else is stepping up. He is their best player. And Luka Modric is there on that team.
Yeah, 100%.
But three goals scored and one assist.
It's four matches, four goal contributions, three goals, but his XG is 0.84, which means that ball wasn't even supposed to go in.
Yeah, dog. You weren't.
Two of those times, dog.
Yeah. The ball has been like, I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Bro, I don't even go to this school. What's going on here? Why am I at this dance?
Yeah. And this is what we want to see. I mean, as much as people can get annoyed with Christian Pulisic with his documentary and his certain decisions or whatever, like, obviously the expectations are he does well with his club and can bring that form to the national team. I'm hoping the rest that he had over the summer was beneficial. And with stats like these, it feels like that is very much the case. I still think, you know, AC Milan, the season that they're in and missing out on every European competition, it's just like kind of a disappointment in that he's not going to be playing against the best competition available to him or what he's sort of used to. He's a regular Champions League player. And this is the first year in a while that he's not going to be able to compete in it.
I don't disagree, but I think you can also say that maybe it's a benefit that heading into a World Cup where he's going to have to play.
There is,
doesn't have to play three matches a week, right? Yeah, so that's probably a good thing. What I like most about this is if you look at his chart, every shot he's taken has been from inside the box except for one, which was just outside the box. So he's getting into an advanced space, which means for someone like him, who his sole responsibility is not goal scoring, his sole responsibility is link-up play. He plays centrally. He plays up front. He plays just behind the striker. His job is to connect. He's getting in advanced spaces. He's finding open spaces.
Where's he playing this season mainly? Where's he? What position?
I think I've seen him mostly centrally at the 10.
He played centrally, and he also played out wide on the right last season a lot. So I haven't seen where he's been playing exactly. But whatever, whatever leads to kind of, you know, results like this is fantastic. I mean,
he's actually playing up top against Udinese, where he scored two. Because Luka Modric was playing centrally. But again, he doesn't always play up front, and his job isn't to stay in the box. He's finding those open spaces. He's one of those guys that, to me, when he's in that mode of let me do, you know, sort of instinctually playing, you know what I mean? Let me do something exceptional versus just sit here and play the tactics that we were asked to play, which I think at times you've seen that him try to do that at Chelsea to be like, look, I'm listening to you, coach. Yeah. I'm doing, as opposed to not hero ball. I don't want to see hero ball. But lockdown Pulisic was one of those guys where if he got the ball in open space or if he had space between him and the defender, he would drive at the defender. He'd make himself a shot. He'd find a shot where we weren't seeing that for very long. Now it feels like ever since he got to AC Milan, more and more confidence, a couple different managers, which sucks, and that's been happening to him his whole career. But he's at 27 right now. He's at his peak, and we're seeing him in his best form. This has given me a ton of confidence with him going into the World Cup. To me, he is the face of the team.
Face of the national team or face of Milan?
You could make an argument about the Milan, but I feel like we're going to get coached by people who hate Americans. But for me, he is absolutely the face of the national team.
Okay. I agree with that as well. Another midfielder doing some great work is Malik Tillman, our homie that we linked up with in Bremen when we went to go see Leverkusen play. He was he was pretty sad about the result that ended 3-3 that led to Erik ten Hag's firing immediately after. I call it the Cooligan's influence. Yeah.
Well, he would look so sad. We looked at him and said, we'll take
it. I see how disappointed you are.
I'm gonna make one phone call.
Just want to see a smile on your face, buddy. Yeah. But he has two goals in the first three matches for Leverkusen. He seems to be settling in, but I Malik Tillman is a player I am not worried about. And we saw him play in person. And that was the first game he had played. He started and looked to be an incredible influence on the team. So, yeah, are Leverkusen going to be the Xabi Alonso Leverkusen? No, they're not. But I think they can.
Thank God they're not going to be the Erik ten Hag Leverkusen. Sure, sure.
They're going to vie to continue to be a strong, Champions League side, and with who was it? With Alex Grimaldo still. Who was talking about his free kicks the other day? It was somebody talking about his free kicks. I literally like. There's something. When Grimaldo basically takes a free kick, it's like there's like a ease of like, oh, I know this one's going in. Like there's an incredible confidence. And so now to be teammates with a player like that is obviously pretty comforting.
So he just balled out incredible. Scored a goal. Mbappe gave him a 7.9 player of the match against Borussia Mönchengladbach, which is our boy. Scally's on that team. Obviously,
Gio Reyna's injured though.
Gio Reyna's not playing in the team. But I didn't know this. They play a 3-4-2-1, Borussia Mönchengladbach. So they don't have a right back, so to speak. They have a right center back.
Okay.
And that guy's name is Kevin Dix.
Okay. Is that
D-I-K-S.
Okay.
Kevin Dix.
Plural.
Yeah. Multiple. impressive. To say the least. Do you know what nationality he is? What country he plays for? If you had a guess.
Penis Stein.
Hilarious. That's what he looks like.
And what nationality? I don't know. It has to be like Austrian, German.
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's what... The surname doesn't really come off. As,
when I hear Dix, I don't think Indonesia. You know?
Okay.
Just thought I'd interrupt our show for a second there for that. Indonesia watch.
I thought he was young, black, and rich, bro. Let's go. All right. let's take a break.
Find your favorite right center back.
Talk to Yahoo and see if we're in any trouble.
Hope the lawyers are here.
All right. We'll wrap up with Rapid Reactions right after this.
All right, now it's time for one of my favorite segments in the world, Rapido Reactions. Vamos. Okay, if you don't know what it is, Carter's going to give us a bunch of topics. We got 90 seconds to riff and do whatever the hell we want. We can literally go into Carter's pockets if we want to in those 90 seconds. He can't stop us.
All right, go for it, Carter. What's up?
All right, the first one here, of course, close to me. Tottenham have a priority buy option on Harry Kane this summer. There are rumblings from Germany, according to Bild, that this may be Harry Kane's last season with Bayern Munich. Would this be the right summer for him to come back to the Premier League, potentially to come back to Tottenham and try to break that goal scoring record?
Well, his ops, Daniel Levy's gone now. So, right. Yeah, the liar. Gentlemen's agreement. You know what I mean?
This is interesting. I mean, look, he could clearly continue to have definitely much more success with Bayern Munich and be much closer.
If he wins Champions League, with Bayern Munich.
Which he's not going to do that.
Okay, but if he does, they have a chance just like anyone else.
Okay.
If he does that mean like, all right, I did what I came to do. I'm going to go to Tottenham? Or do you think like, nah, this is, I'm winning here. Why would I leave?
I don't know. I mean, it's like a very personal decision. It's not going to be a financial decision.
What would you do? I guess is how I should have asked that.
I would probably stay at Bayern Munich. I mean,
same, bro. They love you there.
They love you. A lot of success. You can keep kind of growing that project. Rather,
because here's the other thing. He's 46 goals away from Alan Shearer. That's going to take, let's say, 3 seasons if he starts slowing down. Do you think he's got 3 seasons left?
Yeah. I mean, if that is the ambition, the mission, then I understand coming back. You know, we were hanging out with Alan Shearer over the weekend.
He don't want him back. He don't want him back at all.
Like, hey, Germany's great this time of 3 years.
No, smells bad, baby. Munich is where you belong.
So, I would think he should stay, but I can understand coming back. If that's breaking that record is what he wants. All right, what's next?
All right, next here we've got, we're reacting to the Ballon d'Or. I know you guys have some thoughts here. Obviously, Ousmane Dembele won the Ballon d'Or. He's the fifth Muslim player to win it. But Christian, you specifically had some thoughts about the rankings and everything. So go for it.
Yeah, shout out to...
Are you about to be a joy kill?
No. I mean, it's just, I don't have a ton of respect for the Ballon d'Or in general, but...
I do. I'd like to be invited.
I mean, let me get that out there. It's just, you know, like anything, it's just a favoritism sort of contest. But shout out to Ousmane
Dembele. It's not a world... you know, ranking. It's the French journalists.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
But for
here?
Him,
they can pick whoever they want.
Fifth Muslim player to win the Ballon d'Or, and even the final two, him and the Mima, Muslim players. Who knows exactly how religious anybody kind of is, but we know their backgrounds. But
yeah, we know Lamima doing some things that ain't muy católico. I'll just say that.
He's fun.
In the good book, is all I'm saying. What he up to? You know.
But I love.
He's doing a little more Sodom and Gomorrah. You know.
I love the representation. It's great to see. But Rafinha being fifth. So it was Vitinha was third. Rafinha fifth.
Did Rafinha win Champions League?
He did not.
Okay. Did Vitinha?
He did. But Rafinha was an absolute beast for a really long stretch of the season. Produced more than Vitinha did. Vitinha won, of course. But
you can make an argument that Rafinha should be higher on that list. It's hard for me to say you should deduct Vitinha where he is because he was wildly influential in the Champions League run. Mm-hmm. So, and one of my favorite players to watch in general. So I'm not going to give you that. Also, you got to get away from the man if you want to beat a man.
Well,
and by the man, I mean the killer, Mignumont. Invite me to a party, bro.
But congrats.
I'll leave my phone out.
Well deserved. All right, what's next?
All right, Real Madrid. Off to a flying start, 7 wins in their first 7 games of the season. Are we already seeing the Xabi Alonso effect?
It's a little early to say that, right? It's the beginning of the season. But Real Madrid, this is the part that's frustrating for me with Real Madrid about players and coaches that want to go there. Mm-hmm. If you win La Liga, you win Copa del Rey, and you win Champions League,
Yeah.
We do that all the time anyway, bro. That's why you was born here. You never get to pat yourself on the back.
No. It's like 7-7, I don't care.
Yeah, wow. That it? Is the season over, my guy? No, dog.
Yeah, it's hard to impress Real Madrid fans, and then there is a little bit of controversy within the club because Vinicius Jr. hasn't started every game. Mm-hmm. Xabi Alonso had to remind Vinicius that he's still very much a part of the club, which is just a strange thing to say to someone so important in the last few years. But to be like, no, we got plans for you. Don't worry, about.
Cancel your Ballon d'Or party. And get over here, dog.
So they're impossible to please. And unless they win, La Liga and Champions League and every possible trophy in front of them, the fans are not going to be satisfied. So that's kind of my reaction to this. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, good. Congrats.
Good. Like, I mean, they look like they're about to win the league again. Barcelona still have financial issues that they're working through and all this other stuff. So they have every opportunity.
Congrats, Real Madrid. You're Real Madrid.
All right, what's next?
All right. Hugo Gatike took his shirt off after scoring a goal. Problem was he was already on a yellow card, so he was sent off. Thoughts here?
I mean, this isn't a new rule. So it's a little frustrating. Also, yo, ESOC, bro, you trying to start more games in ESOC? It ain't going to be by doing this.
You know, you got to compete for that spot. You got to be available. And when your manager after the game, not even after the game, during the game, Jeremy Frimpong is like looking right at him, being like, bro, what is you doing?
Yeah.
The game is not over. And Arne Slot pointed this out as well, like, you basically scored a tap in and you're taking off your shirt. Like, seriously, like Federico Chiesa does all the work, and then you're the one who takes off your shirt and you do the messy celebration.
The quote is, I told them if you score in the Champions League final in the 87th minute after outplaying three players and hitting it in the top corner, I can maybe understand. He is like, this is all about me. What did I do?
Right.
So he's throwing wild shade on him.
So, yeah, this is, there's a time and place.
And this was not it, man.
It's just a Carabao Cup?
It's hard for me to say because, you know, when you talk to players, like, don't celebrate the 15th goal. Remember that for the women's national team against Thailand? And then people are like, you never know if that's going to be the last goal you score. You worked hard. You celebrated. It's not just about what you did on the pitch. It's what it took to get to the point where you could get to this game, get to this team and score. So you celebrate all of them. You don't know if your knee blows out in the next 10 minutes and you never play again. Part of me kind of doesn't want to minimize someone's emotions at that time. But I could understand being mad at him for doing this.
Especially if you want a yellow.
You want a yellow, dog. That's the big part. That's the asterisk.
Kind of the issue. All right.
All right, this last one. I'm going to let you guys explain this one. But Victor Boniface had some sage advice for anyone in a relationship.
Pull up the Instagram.
You gotta let players give you advice sometimes because they've reached a certain part of success. Victor Boniface, nobody asked him, but he went on the internet and he said, disrespecting your body and wasting your money with different girls won't get you anywhere in life. Okay.
Okay.
Good advice.
I'm on board.
Okay. A lot of Dominican men need to be listening right now. All right. Okay. All right.
I'm texting this to my uncle.
Right. And I'm just thinking here, yo, Victor Boniface is, man, what a man of the book. You know, the guy's coming at you and he's saying, let me give you some good advice. He said, I don't know when y'all will be wise. Find yourself one girl. Okay. That's smart. Or two girls. Hold on now. And settle down. Highest three girls, or if you're going through a lot, four is okay. You had us in the first half,
bro. Everybody, you know, grieves in their own way. Everybody goes through what they're going through. Everybody needs certain kinds of therapy.
Four girls.
Four. He's like, I'll give you four if you're going through a lot. More than four, brother, I can't be, I can't go with you on this journey.
Who are you talking to that has five girls or more that you felt the need to be like, let me give you the proper way of doing this? Who's reading this besides someone who owns campground in Utah? that is thinking to themselves, that's where I messed up, bro. Really, I got 38 girls over here. I should have stopped at three, possibly four for when I'm really going
He's
through
like,
stuff.
The most I could give you is a starting 11. After that, I can't.
Hey, bro, you got to know. You almost had a five-a-side,
but there's a lot, you know, players post a bunch of stuff on their Instagram stories. They have fun or whatever. They, you know, a great goal that they had is something to highlight or maybe shout out happy birthday to another player. Victor Boniface is like, I'm gonna be the new Kevin Samuels.
I'm dropping gems.
I'm gonna give some advice.
Yeah,
because these youngins need it. They're out in the world. Just
I also say, this is a well crafted bit. If you said this on stage, it would hit.
Of course, yeah. This is. I mean, I don't know where the jokes are. Like, I don't know where
it's the switch, the misdirection.
The misdirection. I mean, it is funny, but I don't know I don't know if Victor's joking.
No,
that's
not.
That's the main thing.
I believe he's not, but I don't think he realizes he wrote a very good joke. There's not a lot of fat. It's very well done.
This is a great bit, a great joke. This
also, here's my question. There should be follow-up. I should be allowed to follow-up of Victor Boniface's Instagram. Are they four different types of girls? Do you have one who likes to stay home, maybe?
Gotcha.
Do you got one who likes to go out? Do you got one who's like, I want the finer things in life? And do you got one who's like, sweats, I'm going to be here for you. We could cuddle on the couch.
Gotcha.
So now you got like, maybe you got four different rooms where you can hang out. You got shorty number one, wants to cook you something nice. She up in the kitchen. Shorty number two, in a man cave, right? Snuggles, right? Maybe got a snuggie on, right? You got shorty with the heels upstairs. I think we all know what we're talking about. You know what I mean?
That's why my wife is all those four in one, bro. That's why I marry her.
Absolutely, bro.
But that's not the
kind of... Maybe you got a shorty outside fixing your my body. You know what I mean? She's like, yo, yo, oil's low, dog. Okay. I got you.
You gotta get a versatile lady.
She's like, bro, you need a handy. Vroom, 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 vroom. You know what I mean? And you're like, not with the
okay.
Yo, no, I got shorty upstairs for that.
Well, shout out to Victor Bunnyface. Thank you so much for the help. I can't wait to you know, till he pivots into his red pill podcast.
Yeah, man. Victor Manosphere Bunnyface.
All right, let's wrap it up there, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us everywhere. Make sure you hit like, you hit subscribe. You can follow us on all socials. Instagram at Soccer Cooligans, on Blue Sky at SoccerCooligans.com. And we have a lot of really good shows coming up in the next few weeks. We have a lot of big guests, big names. You guys are going to enjoy it. So if you have not subscribed, make sure that you do that. Anything else, Alexis?
No. Thanks for watching this long.
All right. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.